and welcome to She's Big Time Now, a podcast for women who are refusing to play small. My guest today is Jillian Sitch. Jillian is a trailblazer in college sports. Jillian made history in 2022 as the first female to coach a men's soccer team to an NCAA championship. And get this, she did it in her first season on the job at the University of Chicago, proving you don't have to be a man to coach men's sports. On the show, she shares her advice for mastering a winning mindset, how dreaming big can set you up for success, and what she learned about managing disappointments that enabled her to bounce back after being cut from the team after making it big as a professional women's soccer player. Let's get into the show. Welcome to She's Big Time Now. I had to have you on the show because when I thought about someone who's been big time, not just once, but multiple times, I came across you. So I know you're going to have an inspiring story and just insight to give our ladies today.
Hi, Joy. Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
Well, one of the first questions I love to ask people, and it's my opening question for the show, is why do you think some people make it big and others don't? Is it faith? Is it luck? Is it mindset? When you thought about this, what do you think it is?
Yeah, you know, I think this is a interesting question because I think there's a lot of different things that can go into it, or you can look at it in a lot of different ways. And I do think a little bit has to do with potentially where you are, like the timing of things. Do timing things fall into place? Are you at the right time? Are you at the right place at the right time? I think that does have something to do with it. You know, we all know, I'm sure, in our lives where jobs come about and it's the job we really want, but maybe the timing just isn't right. It's not right for the family. It's not right for you, you know? So I do think that some of that stuff is timing. I am a big believer in positivity. You know, I think just the mindset, how we see things, how we view things, how we act on things. You know, I think that that is a huge part as to what leads to people being successful just in their daily lives, right? I don't think we need to even put it on such a big pedestal of winning championships or getting, being CEO or president or whatever of our jobs. I think also just being successful can come through like our daily life. It could be, you know, as something as simple as accomplishing the small tasks that we need to do for the day. And I think a lot of that has to do with mindset, attitude, how we want to, you know, go about our days. And I think, again, a lot of that stuff is, there's a lot of things in life that we can't control, and there's a lot of things that we can control. And the biggest things we can control is our attitude and how we want to approach and show up every single day. So I think that definitely ties to a lot of why some people are successful and some aren't.
No, you know what? I think that's huge because timing, you're right. You know, timing is everything. You can meet the right person at the wrong time or the right job, like you said. But then I love that you talked about mindset, because so many people that I've talked to, and I've interviewed a number of celebrities over the years, and many of them told me they knew they were going to be famous. Like, they knew it was going to happen for them. And when I look back at your story, what is so interesting to me is, as a child, you said, I'm going to be a professional women's soccer player. And you did it. How much of that do you think plays into it? Did you always know or have this inkling that you could do it?
Yeah, definitely. I remember telling my dad, I'm almost positive I was 5 years old, and I told my dad that I want to be a professional soccer player. And, you know, I'm very fortunate and very blessed that I had parents that fostered an environment or fostered things for me to be able to go after my dreams. My mom was very big on saying, dream big, whatever you have, go after it. What's your dream? You know, like, she was very big on that. So that's always been one of my biggest little sayings, is dream big. It sticks with me from my mom. And I did. I just knew that's what I wanted to do. I didn't I just went after it of how to do it, you know? And I think it just came from the hours of practice that I put in. My parents were not happy that I kicked a ball against a fence in our backyard all the time and got it dirty or broken or whatever. But, you know, like they, again, created that environment. My dad went and bought a kickback net so I could be in the backyard so I could play on endless hours. You know, he would do anything in that sense. We'd set up fitness stuff in the street in front of my house. He'd mark out with a measuring tape and spray paint lines on the street so I could practice my fitness, so I could go after the things that I wanted to do. And so I did. I just always knew that that was something that I really wanted to be, that I wanted to go after. And, you know, you're young, so you just kind of do, you know, whatever, you play, you do things. And then as I got older, I made that decision. I played all sports growing up, basketball, volleyball, softball, track, gymnastics, swimming even a little bit, but not as much. And so it was really when I got to be a freshman in high school that I was like, I want to commit to soccer. Everything I want to do is going to revolve around soccer. And again, you know, I'm very fortunate and very blessed because my parents spent a lot of nights and a lot of weekends driving me to soccer, you know, spending a lot of money for me to travel, to be in these, you know, in these environments for me to foster that dream. So I did. And I knew that it was going to be a lot of sacrifices, and it definitely was, but one that I, you know, never regret looking back on the sacrifices and stuff that I made to be there.
You know, what I think is so huge about that is what you said is at five. I mean, that's kind of amazing when you think about it, that at 5 years old, here you are thinking, I can do this. But I think it goes back to why some people make it big is because when I hear your story, I'm like, yes, you had the vision and you're like, I'm going to do this. But then you put action behind the vision. You know, it wasn't just like, I'm going to do this. You said you spent countless hours doing this. And I think that it's so interesting because a lot of us, when we're young, we dream big, but somehow disappointment along the way kind of stops us from dreaming big. Do you think that that is a hindrance as to why a lot of people, they start off dreaming big, but then disappointments or things not happening in the timing they expect causes them to give up?
Yeah, of course. And I think that goes back to kind of what we talked about in the very beginning, that opening question of where some people are successful, potentially not successful, is again, that mindset of things, right? And I think having a dream, always having a dream, right? And going forward with it. And there's going to be roadblocks along the way. I don't know one person that has gotten to the top of wherever they want to be or whatever the goal they want to reach and have never had failure, have never had obstacles to overcome. And again, I think sometimes that disappointment or certain things maybe deters people and changes their dream, which is okay too, right? Like maybe it's a different path. Maybe it's a different dream now, knowing that this dream may not happen. You know, like my ultimate dream was to play on the full national team. That never happened for me, you know, like, and so I think again, like you can still be okay with potentially not reaching that, but like what other steps or what other things can you do to still live out your dream to find it and to go about it in different ways. So, I think too, like having a starting spot and then your end goal, like you have to really think about the tiny steps and everything that comes in between. And I think I asked myself a lot of times too, like what I do if I failed, what would I do if I didn't make this team, or where would I, you know, and I didn't make every single team I tried out for, you know, I had setbacks throughout my career and stuff. So I think, again, it's just that perseverance or the attitude of how do you want to see that failure, right? We all know you can fail every day. Something can happen, but I think really, how do you want to look at that failure? Is that failure going to hold you back from continuing to move forward? Or is that failure going to like persevere you and make you maybe change a little bit? Maybe you have to change your dream. Maybe you have to take another step or sidestep to getting there. Maybe it's going to take 3 years instead of one, you know? And I think just you have to be willing to accept those things.
No, I think that's so huge. And what you said is very, very key about being willing to look at failures, and you prepared yourself, which I think is key. You prepared yourself. What if this doesn't happen? So tell me about a time where you didn't make it big time or you had a setback, and how did you process that?
Yeah, I remember distinctively, there's a program called ODP, Olympic Development Program. And at the time when I grew up playing, it was like the thing. It was so big. If you made it, you were great. You made a state team, a regional team, and then at times you got asked to be in with the national team. So I remember the first time I had tried out for this and made the state team, and I was like, oh, okay, like made the state team, went to regional camp. And, you know, I thought I did really well, had a successful camp, and at the end of the camp, didn't get called to make the regional team. And I remember being so devastated. I believe I cried halfway home with my dad. How could this be? Like, this is so unfair. Like, so unfair. I thought it was like, you know, how could this possibly happen? I wanted to make the team. I need to be on that team. And, you know, and I just remember crying, and my dad and I always had a rule after soccer where, you know, we weren't allowed to talk about soccer unless I brought it up to him. I had to bring it up. I had to ask, you know, so he wasn't the pressing father that, you know, got in the car and said everything to me about the game or how I played. And so I just remember being extremely upset and wondering, well, what is going to happen now, right? Like, I want to be on the national team and this is my step. Cause at the time that was the step of kind of how you got there. And, you know, just sitting and having that moment and asking my dad, well, what do I do now? My dad's like, well, you can cry about it for a little bit longer, but then you have a decision to make. Like, what are you going to do moving forward? How is this going to hold you back? Or, you know, like, there's next year, there's next season, there's another opportunity. So what are you going to do to kind of overcome this part? Because you can sit and cry about it and mope about it for as much as you want, but that's not going to help you kind of solve the problem. So we kind of talked a lot about, like, it was okay for me to feel sad. It was okay for me to be upset about it. I was devastated. However, I have this moment right now that I'm allowed to be upset about it. And then now we move forward after this day and after, you know, this moment. So I think I just remember that time of being set back. And then the following year went on, made the regional team, got called into, you know, the youth national team. And so I think for me too, like, it humbled me. It was good for me. I needed that. I needed to see what else I needed to do because I wasn't at the best. I was the best in my little area, but then I wasn't the best compared to all these other people that are coming from Missouri and, you know, Wisconsin and India, like these.
So it kind of challenged you. So that setback was like a setup for a comeback. Somebody had, I know that's a saying.
Well, that, and it's funny you say that because that is one of my, you know, like one of my quotes and stuff where setbacks are opportunities for comebacks. And I think you need that stuff and you need into, you may be great in your little bubble, but in order to kind of get after some of the other things you want, like putting yourself in those situations where you're going against the other best and you're having that. So again, I think that just really humbled me and it made me realize like, oh, there's a lot of things I need to continue to work on if I want to be at the best of where I want to be.
No, I think that's huge. And I think for a lot of people, that's a good mindset. Because sometimes we go after it, we want the big thing and it doesn't happen. And we think maybe it's not meant to be. Ooh, you know, and you didn't say that. I love that you had that at such a young age, because I can only imagine how it shaped how you look at disappointments and being able to manage disappointments. Did it help you to be able to take even greater risks in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I took a big risk, you know, left my senior year in college to go play overseas because I wanted to pursue my dream. Like, that was a big risk. I was leaving, going to go live with a host family, live in another country for 7 months and know nobody, you know, like just those different risks because I needed to do that at the time if I wanted to continue to like pursue my dream of playing. A lot of different risks and stuff along the way.
So we talked about kind of you having this childhood dream. Did you ever think about where it came from? Because I always often wonder, you know, do we just have these ideas? Is it exposure that helps us realize our next big dream? I know for me, it was Oprah. I watched Oprah and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to school for journalism. This is it. And it was that exposure at such a young age. I think I was like 10 to 13 when I knew I was going to be in media. What about you? Did you ever figure out what it was that caused that excitement in you?
I don't really know, because I just remember being going and playing with my first like team, which was all boys, and being the only girl, but just loving it. I don't know. I just loved soccer. I loved everything about it. I think I loved it because you could, you know, you're running or like hitting people, I guess, as I got older, like I just loved to have like the contact or the excitement of the game and stuff. So with like a goal in mind with like a team and kind of getting your team together to persevere. But I don't really know like that moment of being young and saying that. I just, I don't know, maybe I just knew inside or knew that that's kind of what I wanted to go after. And there it was, I guess. I don't know.
And you did it. And you know what's so funny is here you are as a young person. You said one of your first memories is playing with an all-male group of guys, you know, when you're playing soccer. Fast forward years later, you become the first, you know, female to lead a men's soccer team to the NCAA championship. Talk about full circle moments. When you look back on that, what goes through your mind?
Yeah, it is a full circle, you know, because that is, there was even periods in my life where I didn't even know if I wanted to coach, you know, like after playing, I knew I loved so many different aspects of coaching. I didn't know what I was going to do after I played. And, you know, so it's interesting to have this full circle of, yeah, I started playing with boys at such a young age. I was a competitor. I wanted to win. I wanted to beat all the boys in gym class. I wanted to just, you know, I think that's probably part of what going from your last question. When I think about it, I was like, I just was a competitor. I hated to lose. I always wanted to win. It didn't matter what I was doing. My dad never let me win in Nerf ball basketball in the bedroom. You know, like I just was a competitor. I always wanted to win. And so maybe that came from a little bit of why I wanted to pursue and play soccer. And, you know, coaching or being with boys, I'd always been surrounded by guys. You know, I just, from that first age of playing soccer and then in P class, I always was with the guys playing soccer or some sport, like, you know, just always around them and competing. And so it's interesting to kind of see this full circle come around now where I am coaching boys, you know, because again, you kind of alluded to it. You saw Oprah and you're like, that's what I want to be. I want to be that. And, you know, for me, even growing up, I wanted to be that pro soccer player, but the people that I followed and look up to and had posters on my wall were all men, because at the time there wasn't a women's professional league. There wasn't these women posters. And it wasn't really until like the 99ers when they won the World Cup that I now had Mia Hamm and Julie Foudy and Christine Lilly and Brandi Chastain posters in my room. So it wasn't until I was older then. So to kind of fast forward to being a coach of a men's soccer team, it's not every day that women see that. You know, there's not all these women on TV coaching these men teams, you know, and we hear about it a little bit more now. So it is interesting because, like you said, you saw that. So you believed in that and that's what you wanted to go do. And, you know, so for me, it was also too, even for myself, I had all male coaches growing up until I was 25 years old. I didn't have a female coach. You know, I did have a high school female coach, but it wasn't until I was 25 that I actually had like another female role model in my life as a coach. So to even think about that for women, there's a lot of young girls that go through their whole entire playing career and will not have a female coach. So I think to have this full circle now of hopefully I can be someone now where young girls can see it like you saw Oprah, and now they can believe in it. Now they can dream in it and go after it. So, you know, I'm hoping that it can just continue to open the doors for young girls especially, but also I think it's important too, like young boys, like you can go after things that you want to go after and set those dreams and goals as well.
But you know what's also very interesting is the signpost. It's like you were getting these signs even from a young age, like, you know, playing with the boys, like life is kind of strategic. And are we paying attention? You know, are we? Because if you look back, you were like, yeah, I kind of always played with the guys and I was competitive and, you know, I had a male coach. So it was like life was setting you up. But I wonder if we even often take time to look at those little signposts along the way that are kind of guiding us.
Yeah, I don't think we do unless we're looking and searching for the signs. You know, when we're in those states of our life, we're like, what am I doing? What I need a sign. I need it. And you start paying attention to small things. But I think that those signs or moments and stuff are around us a lot. And it's, you know, I joke with one of my friends just about like the things that you put out into the universe, even just like the energy that you speak out there and what can come back to you, you know. But again, I think you need to be open to those things. You need to be open to the changes and being open to seeing things in a different way or having different things. Because if you don't, then I also believe those moments or opportunities will pass you up.
Yeah, it'll pass you right by. And you know, something I want to go back to is your pivot from player to coach, because you said, you know, you made it to the top, you know, you wanted to become a professional soccer player. You did that. And then there's a moment, there had to be a moment where you say, is this it? What's next? When did you know it was time to shift or pivot
or things were about to change for you?
Yeah, I would say probably the last year and a half of my playing career, probably definitely the last year, I just started to have different feelings about going to practice or the games. Like, things just started to shift and maybe feel a bit different. And I just started to feel, what is there something else I should be doing now? I'm ready to move on into a different stage of my life. And I think a lot of that came from, too, like, at the time, the stability of playing, it's not what it is now, you know? And so I think a little bit of that, you know, I had, in a very positive way, I say this, like, I had sacrificed a lot of things playing. I missed friends' weddings. I missed the birth of some of my really good friends and families and stuff. And, you know, so I think even for that, I was starting to feel like I want to spend a little bit more time with my family. I want to have a little bit more of this flexibility. Want to be a little bit more stable in my life. And at the time, I was doing a lot of individual coaching and coaching a high school girls team. And I had started to really love it. And so that was also like thrown into the mix too of like, okay, I'm doing personal training. I'm doing individuals with, you know, young soccer players. And then I was coaching the high school team, and it just kind of all of those feelings and emotions kind of started to mix in together. So I'd say it was about the last year or so of my playing career that I started to really feel like there's something else I should be moving on to go and doing.
Which is really interesting, because I think a lot of people, when they're in that pivot, they feel something is off, or they feel something like there has to be something more. But a lot of people stay stuck. They have a really difficult time making that pivot. How did you get the courage to walk away and make that pivot?
Well, interesting enough, like, unfortunately, I was lucky enough to make the decision that an injury or something didn't kind of derail me. I knew it was at this time, I knew it was going to be the last part, like last season that I was playing. And then just an unfortunate turn of events with the league and some of the rules that they make were like, if you're heading into playoffs, you can only have X amount of players on your roster. And it was coming down to roster cuts and stuff. And so we had two players kind of coming back from injury. So we needed to cut down our roster to going into that. And so I, unfortunately, was one of the players that was going to be left off for the last like 2 weeks of the season. I believe it was 2-3 weeks of the season heading into playoffs. And so that decision came, and it was brutal. It was talk about an adversity moment that you have to hit in your life. I think that might've been one of the hardest situations I'd gone through, but also like a very big blessing at the end of the day. And so my last year of playing kind of made it easier, because I knew I was going to probably be done playing, but maybe would have wanted to come back and play. Then this situation kind of happened, and I was like, okay, then this is the moment then that I won't come back and play. So very hard moment.
Was that hard?
Oh, it was
challenging.
Hard. Yeah, it was very, very hard. So, it was, like I said, it was probably one of the hardest personally things in just like my actual career that I had to go through. But then again, I think it also was just a really big blessing as well, because I think I learned a lot through those moments.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn through those moments? If there was one or two things that you think you learned through those moments.
Yeah. Well, I think, I don't want to speak on all athletes, so I'll keep this like speaking on myself. You know, at times you potentially judge your worth on minutes played or rosters made or goals scored or assists had and stuff. And you really, for me, at times I did, right? Like, I think every athlete does a little bit in some way, shape, or form. And so, you know, like, I at times was embarrassed if I didn't travel or embarrassed if I didn't play, right? Because you do all this work and then you don't get that moment. It's part of the game. It's what happens. I'm forever grateful I had those moments, because again, you learn through all that stuff. And so I think I was more embarrassed that that's how I was going to end my career. I was going to end it on a potential cut from a coach that maybe didn't think I was good enough to be in that spot, right? And I think when I played for 10 years and this is how I'm ending, I was like, oh my gosh, my worth, like, I've done all this work and this is how it's ending. And it was the biggest thing that I learned through all of that is the outreach from people that had found out, like, Twitter was the thing now back then. So everything was blasted on Twitter at the moment and things being put out there that I was being let go and the club making a release, and the outreach from people or parents about how I made their daughters feel or what I did for their daughters or my teammates and the words and stuff that they say. It was just a big reminder of, like, you as a player and stuff, like, doesn't define who you are. And, like, I think about the moments that mean the most to me are, you know, like, your teammates, no one mentioned in anything about, like, oh, well, you played 45 minutes in this game and you scored 3 goals. Like, no one ever mentioned any stats that I had, but every person mentioned how I made them feel or what I did for them or how I inspired them or how I was a good teammate. And I think for me, that was like an aha moment big time, because again, like, I think we as people, our success, you know, we like to chart up our success or different things in different ways, and like, well, that's great, what if I had all the success but then people were saying really crappy things about me, like, you know? So I think it was just a big moment for me to recognize and understand that it's so much bigger. Like, we are, you know, and the game is so much bigger than us, and these moments that we really share with people and our relationships and how we connect and how we treat people and how we inspire people, what we do really matters more than anything in that situation.
And it sounds like you digged in deep too, to who you really were, you know, and saying, hey, me not, you know, going through the situation doesn't define how good I am. It doesn't define who I am as a person. I still made an impact. What I did still mattered. And, you know, hindsight's 2020, but now you look at where you are now in your first season as, you know, coach, you make it to this NCAA championship and you've had all the success now. When you look back on that, what would you say to yourself in that moment, seeing where you are now, not having any idea of what was next for you?
I don't know, like, what I would say to myself. I don't know. I think it's just, you know, I think, again, through every failure or setback of different things that you have, like, there's a lesson to be learned. There's something to see in this. And so I think, again, I could have been bitter. I could have been angry about the situation. You know, I didn't need to go cheer my team on in the playoffs and sit in the stands. And I didn't have to do any of that stuff, you know, and that's what I chose to do. I didn't know what else to do other than I'm going to be here for my teammates. This is what I'm going to do. This is bigger than me. I have to move on from this. And I'm going to use this opportunity to continue to grow as a person and persevere after new goals and things that I want to go after.
That, I think that's so huge. But I love what you said, because in that moment, and I have to reiterate that because I think that speaks a lot to who you are as a person and why you've been so successful. You could have said, OK, I'm getting cut from the team. I'm going to have an attitude about this. Why me? And be in this place. But you didn't. You said, I'm not going to be in that place. I'm going to go cheer my team on. I'm going to still show up for them. And I'm going to look at this as maybe I'm being positioned for something greater. And I just want to commend you for that, because I think a lot of us get in that place where we're like, why me? You know, this is it. Nothing's ever going to happen for me. I thought this was my big break. But to see you go on and to have other big breaks, I think it's truly, truly, truly instrumental and talks about your ability to deal with adversity and things that come along our way. So I want to kind of caveat into your success mindset. What do you think it takes to be a trailblazer? Because, you know, you've gone on, like you said, to do something really great in your first season as, you know, coach at University of Chicago, over the head coach of the men's soccer team, and to go to the NCAA championship. And I can only imagine what your future is ahead. But what would you just say to somebody about what it takes to be a trailblazer and to continue to pick yourself up when you get knocked down or life doesn't turn out exactly how you envision it in that moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think I would definitely say, and this comes just from like my earlier career when I was like knocked down for a lot of things, but like the biggest thing I think just in general, whether it's a trailblazer or going after the things that you want, is never let someone tell you that you can't. And I think, you know, I was not supported a lot by a lot of people when I chose to go to DePaul University and play, because it wasn't a soccer house powerhouse school. You know, a lot of people told me that I would never become a professional. I'd never go after my dreams. My dreams would never happen if I chose to go to DePaul. And I think that's one of the biggest things is listening to yourself, listening to your heart, even when everyone else potentially is against you, or believing in yourself when potentially no one else will. And I know that that sounds so basic and we tell people that a lot, but I do think that that's a big thing, whether you're setting off to be a trailblazer or you're just setting off to go after the dreams that is something that you want is like, whatever works for you might not work for other people. What makes sense to you might not make sense to other people, and that's okay. And I think continuing to believe in that and wanting to go after the things that you want to go after, there's nothing wrong with that. And even when people might not support you or you feel like people are against you, continue to persevere and go after the things that you want to do. I can't say that I got backlash in terms of like wanting to go into this role and do this. So that's why I say I tie that to like the early part of my career. But I think it fits in general just with this, with the question stuff you had asked is you have to be willing to just step out of your comfort zone potentially, maybe not be supported by people, maybe have people look at you funny, and that's okay. But if it's something that you truly believe in, continue to go after it.
And did you experience any backlash or hear people say, why would you go to be a men's soccer coach? Did you have to deal with any of that?
No, I very fortunately, I was supported by a lot of people, you know, and I had a lot of people encouraging me to continue to go through the interview process or interview, put my name out there, put the application in and to do that. So I think I was very fortunate that I did not have that. I also had Kim Wyatt, who is the head coach at NYU, who coaches in our conference. She is another female coach in the league. And so I think to kind of have her to go to speak to about it was great. I know that there's a couple other female coaches that are assistant coaches and now head coaches after I had been hired as well. So I know that there's many more of us now continuing to rise, but I never had backlash from the University of Chicago. Never backlash from the kids. Did I have a couple of people look at me funny when I went to my first recruiting event because I was the only female coach on the sideline watching a men's, you know, like soccer tournament? Yes. However, I don't think like that, you know, it's new, right? It was new for people, right? They had never really seen a female on the sideline and stuff. So in terms of that, like no backlash, more so quite the opposite, I would say, in terms of that. So I think I'm just more fortunate for that. And, you know, again, huge credit to the team and to my staff. I mean, I know that I was going to be the first female coach that potentially all of them had. I know I'd be the first female coach that my assistant would probably work with, you know, and I think it's a huge credit to them because they have been nothing but supportive and they have embraced me since day one. And for that, I'm, you know, forever grateful for.
No, and I think you spoke to some really good things there, having mentors. You know, I think about some of the success habits. You said being able to go to someone else and get wisdom and advice of someone who's in your industry. I also wonder, where do you get inspiration from these days? How do you keep going? Where do you get that from?
Yeah. Well, I'm a big quote person. I like quotes. I like motivational books or different things. I mean, the champion mindset that we used this year was something that I've kind of used throughout my life and something that we talked about a lot as a team this year, having a champion mindset. And again, it goes back to the basic, just the mindset that you have. How do you approach every single day? How are you, you know, like you wake up every day, you get an opportunity of how you want to like start your day, right? You can start off being angry or upset about something, or you can wake up and say today's going to be a great day, and how you approach the day, how you approach potential adversity throughout the day. Again, like what you can control is your attitude. We all know that you're not going to show up and be 100% every day. That's impossible, right? There's going to be days where you're 40, maybe 70%, but like, what are you going to give within that 70% that you have, right? Are you going to look and be like, well, I don't feel so great today. So are you going to allow that to be an excuse of how you go about your day? Or are you going to allow it to be like, you know what? I have 70% today and I'm going to give everything I can in that 70%. So it is like, I think just those tiny mindsets or those little things of, again, like the attitude and how you can look at the day and overcome certain things. And a lot of that comes from like my mom. My mom was very, very positive, you know, just again, the dream big, being positive. You know, unfortunately, talk about a big adversity. I lost my mom when I was a junior going into my senior year of college to cancer. So having to persevere through that. But I think the biggest thing too that I learned from her was, you know, as a kid, you see your parents and I'm like, why are you talking to them? Why are you smiling at them? That's embarrassing, right? Like as a kid, it's embarrassing that your parents potentially are smiling at a stranger. But like my mom would always say, why would I not smile? Just smile at them. You never know what kind of day they're having. This could brighten up their day. Or, you know, when my mom had passed away and the grocery store cashiers came to my mom's funeral because she made their day by just asking, how are you doing today? And so I think back on so many of those moments where why would we not just say hello to somebody, right? We are a society filled with always being on our phone or always having headphones in, but just say hello, just smile, just give a wave or something. And so that, at, you know, that mindset of that positivity and stuff, I mean, it comes from my mom. And that's the one way that I can continue to live, you know, my mom's memory out every day is just having that positive mindset. Am I great at it every single day? No, of course not. You know, like I still have my days where I have to remind myself of, you know, these moments, right? Like that is also life. You know, that stuff happens, but that is one of the biggest things, you know, where it came from.
You know, what is next for you? We think about, you know, you've went on to play professional soccer. You've won a title now as a, you know, as a coach with the men's soccer team. What is next for you? Are you still dreaming big?
Of course. Of course.
Okay. You know, I had to check in.
Yeah. You know what that is? I think it changes from year to year or different things. I think the phases and parts where I'm in my life, you know, I'm really happy right now. You know, I'm at a great university surrounded by great people. So, you know, for that, I think I'm grateful for it. And really just want to work with good people, want to work and be surrounded by good people, want to have fun. You know, I'm very fortunate that I get to, you know, do what I love, you know, and stuff. So want to have fun with it, want to have fun, be surrounded by good people.
I know that you have great things that are you're thinking about in your mind, and we wish you much success because you are the epitome of She Is Big Time Now. You're doing the thing. And so my final question I always like to ask my guest. And you gave us so many golden nuggets about advice that you've received along the way. But if you had to think about what is the best piece of advice that made the biggest impact on where you are today?
That's a tough one. I feel like there's been a lot of different things that have come in. I think one of the biggest, again, it is a little bit tied to that, just the dreaming big and not letting failure or disappointment kind of derail the things that you really want to go after. You know, it might not be an easy path, might be harder, might take you longer than you expected to, might have to change your path a little bit here and there, but really believing in your heart or in your gut of what you really want to do and continuing to go after that and make it happen, regardless of the timeline, regardless of the hard work that comes with it, to continue to go after it.
Yes, because did you ever imagine you'd be where you are today?
No.
That's huge. That's huge. So thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Such an enlightenment. You gave us so many golden nuggets to think about. And that's going to do it for another episode of She's Big Time Now.